I'd like to look at a subject, the contrast of freedom and bondage. You know, Thursday, I got off work. Many people in the United States did. And, you know, we just kind of think of that as a good time to not have to go on a daily job and maybe be able to spend time with family. But, you know, if you trace that back and we're able to see that this was a day set aside to remember that we were in bondage and were set free. And I just because it's so easy to take it for granted and not think about it, I just looked up this little clip. A reminder of the past. July 4th, 1776, the said Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain and were now free and independent states. You think what that felt to those people back then, and we get to still enjoy the blessings of it today. But you know, I was thinking about Moses. When he was talking to the children of Israel, he said, I want you to remember some things. I'd like to look at that, start with this in Deuteronomy 5th chapter and the 13th verse. When we read about the Ten Commandments, and one of those was remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, this one in the starting in the 13th verse of the 5th chapter, Moses is talking to him. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of the cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And then this 15th verse, remember, thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Trying to remind them, you know, times have changed for the children of Israel then. Now they have some servants of their own working for them. And I said, I tell you what I want you to do on this Sabbath day, you let those rest. And I want you to use that day to remember you used to be in bondage yourself and God brought you out. And I was thinking about in Exodus, the 5th chapter, where this happened, where Moses went to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go so they'd be able to worship me. And it didn't have a good outcome right there. In fact, Pharaoh said, I tell you what, they need some more work to be able to do. So where I provided straw for them to use to make bricks before, now you'll go get your own straw in that day, and you're also required to still produce the same amount of bricks in a day, which was no way that they would be able to do that. Taskmaster. Well, what Moses is telling them, hey, remember back to that time when you were also not free. You were in bondage. You know, freedom and bondage, it's easy to tell the difference. It's kind of like hot and cold and night and day. There's a big contrast. But you know, what I'd like to talk about today is that Jesus came to bring about another kind of freedom. And I am so thankful for that. I'd like to look at that verse. It's in the 11th chapter of Matthew and the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Freedom. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some freedom from the bondage that you could have. Now, he didn't say that he would take away the troubles, but he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. To be able to give rest right in the middle of the trouble. I'd like to go next to another verse. This verse has been hard for me to understand how these people would have said this. In John, in the 8th chapter, 8th chapter of John and the 32nd verse. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they had an answer to that. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, as I looked at this right here, they would even have to be real quiet about how loud they said that, because there were Roman soldiers all over the place. Can you imagine them hollering out real loud, we haven't never been in bondage? And he'd say, well, let me show you what bondage is. But they're telling Jesus, you know, Jesus is talking about a different kind of freedom. We don't see him ever hardly. You remember when the man came to him and said, Master, I want you to talk to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said, who made me a ruler over thee? So he never hardly came to take care of the troubles that somebody else could do to us. But what he did come to do is, you bring your burdens to me and I'll give you rest. And I am so thankful for that. But here, these people are saying, we really don't need the freedom that you have for us. We feel like we've always been free. And then I look at the history of the children of Israel before that. How could they even make such a statement? When Moses himself was spared at the time when Pharaoh was having all the boys killed, when Jesus' parents had to flee to Egypt to protect him when he was a child, you know what? That seemed like they were almost in bondage more than they were free. They would have a cycle where they would cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would bring them deliverance. And it seemed like that deliverance would last for a little bit of time before they would go back to serving idols or something. And then the cycle goes over again. Here comes the enemy and takes them over. And then they cry out to the Lord again. I was thinking of this. You know, the devil is in the advertising business. He's in the business of false advertising. He has done it from the beginning, and really he influenced these folks to even not be able to see all the trouble that their generations had been in to where we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye should be made free? You know, this false advertising even went back to a place. I'd like to look at it in Matthew, the 4th chapter. He even tried it on Jesus. 4:8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know, he didn't give up that advertising then. He still continues it today. I have a lot of things to give you from this world if you will fall down and worship me. Eve took the devil's advertising. Satan's interpretation of it, God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to have wisdom given to you. You know, she knew exactly what God was requiring of her. Don't eat it, lest you die. And you know, when she took the bite out of it, she didn't fall over dead. But something did happen to her, a change that came about. You know, there are idols today in our world, and if you just look around a little bit, there are many people bowing down to worship them. One big one today is the idol of sports. It is amazing to me how people are consumed with sports today. They're retrofitting our elevators at work. And as they remodel one of them, each one of them now has two television screens, one on each side, so you don't have to look over somebody to see the other. And I thought, what are they going to show on that 24 hours a day? It's sports. It is a continual talking of sports, which I understand there's worse things than sports that could be on it, so I'm glad that the others are not on there. But it made me realize how, and nobody is complaining, would you please shut this sports station off? I'm sick and tired of sports. I don't hear anybody saying that. Change the channel. because so many people are enthralled with sports today. In fact, I noticed when the Thunder basketball team in Oklahoma City, I got to where when it starts their season, I would like to get one of those cards myself that tells when their games are at home. But I got a different reason for it. The times that they're going to be with a home game in the evening, I need to find a different route to leave out of town, because that route is so busy, because people are involved in sports. You know what? Worshiping the idol of sports, I haven't heard of anybody fall over dead from it. But I want to tell you, it'll sap spirituality. Yes. To where the freedom that I can have in the Lord can be gone, and I'll be dead spiritually. There is a verse in 1 Peter, a warning to us. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, has a plan for every one of us. There's another idol that people are worshiping today, an idol of entertainment. How much time it consumes of people today. And I think about the people that have heard the call to join the entertainment world. I'd like to look at a verse in 2 Timothy. Because you know what? The devil has a plan for everybody. I look at a verse in 2 Timothy 2 and 24. You know, this morning we heard about what spirit should we be of. This tells us what spirit a servant of the Lord should have. 24th verse, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And I'd like to look at this verse, the 26th. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. People that never realized when I join up with this thing, what the end result. Taken captive by Satan at his will. I looked at a few people that in my lifetime joined the entertainment world. I looked at a name over this weekend, Whitney Houston. It said as a child she sang in church, and people heard her voice and soon drew her to things more than just church. And very popular for many years in singing. But it was a fast pace, as it always is with those kind of things. The engagements that she had and the strain that it is on a body. So as happened so many times with so many people, drugs started becoming a part of it. Got to have something to be able to produce what the world is wanting me to produce. After taking that, said her performance started going down popularity. So what do? You add more drugs to it. Until they found her drowned in a bathtub with drugs in her system, who are taken captive by him at his will. Just like he told Eve, you won't surely die if you take of this fruit. He tells the world, and you know what he would like to tell us today, you won't die. But if I don't die physically, if I die spiritually, that's the worst thing that could happen to me. All this I'll give you if you bow down and worship me. Her life was like burning a candle at both ends. And at 48 years old, she's gone out into eternity. And then I heard Cheryl was telling me that her daughter, 2 years later, died from the same thing, same died drowned in a bathtub with drugs in her system. Folks, I want to tell you, the world would like to tell us we're out of touch. But I want to tell you, this is the best way to live. I think of the song that says, "Wasted years, oh how foolish, to lose a life in that." I'd like to look at freedom and bondage for a little bit. It's a choice that we make. In Romans, in the 6th chapter, we decide if we will have freedom or bondage. Romans 6 and 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, we still became a servant, but we became then the servants of righteousness." Because there's a big price to pay. It tells about it in the 23rd verse. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I looked at another person who gave his all to the entertainment industry. Elvis Presley. That was so many years ago. And yet, you know what? We understand that eternity continues on. Had a call to popularity and fame. But along with it, it also had a fast pace. But his was legal drugs, prescription drugs that he abused. I can remember where I was the day when the news came on and they said this: "The king is dead." You know, really what happened was the king met the King of Kings. You know, folks, if we could just realize, if the world could realize and keep it in balance, we sang that song a while ago, "Heaven holds all to me." It holds all to me in that I make choices that I will not allow anything to take a risk, put me at risk of missing it. There was another man, Michael Jackson. I remember when crowds were flocking to hear him. But you know that the world has a mold that you have to fit into to be accepted. And so he worked hard to be able to fit in that mold. He couldn't just be who he was. And how many times he went in for plastic surgery. "I want to fit this mold." Died when he was given drugs to try to pep him up one more time. It said on April 21st, 2016, this was the advertisement, at 57 years of age, the prince was gone. You know what? The prince went out to meet the king of all kings. You know, do all in entertainment die like that? No. There's a lot of them can have their life go a long time. But I kind of felt sad for Whitney Houston as I read hers. Caught up in a whirlpool of requirements that popularity demand. You know what? And all the time that all those things are happening, there's a little old verse that's kind of obscure anymore, but it's 1 John 2 and 15. "To them and to us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But here's what I want to have: he that doeth the will of God will abide forever." Today, the wages of sin is still death. There's another verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. And the third verse. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, the world will look on us and think it's mighty strange the way you live. You know, really, we live a pretty simple life. Work, home, church, family. To them, it's not a lot going on. There have been those that worshiped with us that went away and turned themselves loose to do things that before they said we cannot do. And now they send back word, we're free now. Folks, what we need to realize is we're going to have to give an account one day to the Lord. So it's not so much how I look at it, but it's going to be how God looks at it and what He requires. But when I looked at that, I said, am I in bondage? No way. And here's a song. We do just what we want to, and we go wherever we please, and that is what we're doing here today. Nobody was forced to be able to come to service.
Amen.
When I came in service this morning, I saw Sister Quita after she had put in the call for prayer yesterday. I said, you know what? She was not able to go. She decided to just stay and rest, but was able to come to meeting. And then when I heard, no, they went and came back and then came to service this morning, oh, folks, I'm challenged, because I wanted to go and I thought, you know what? I'm too old to go out and do that kind of thing and get home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because, you know, it's one thing for the congregation to fall asleep, but when the pastor, when the minister himself is so tired out that he can't give a message. But what this is, what it tells me, is that Sister Quita's got some priorities in her life. She could have said this morning, oh, I'll tell you what, I am tired out. But here's the thing. We're headed for eternity. And it's not that any of us are forced to live for the Lord. We sang this song a while ago, song number 300, verse 3. I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. It's a choice of mine. This is what I want in my life. I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. So I was looking at, it's possible that I could be free in a land of freedom and yet be in bondage, walking around with chains of sin binding me. But is it possible to be in bondage and yet be free? That's what Jesus came to bring. And I thought about the life of Daniel. Went into slavery as a young man, and as far as I can tell, he died in slavery as an old man. And yet his spirit was always free. You know what? He didn't have to say when there's a dream and they come to him. He didn't have to say, you know what? I've been living pretty careless and God is not going to hear me as I am. I need to make some adjustments. But he was ready to just be called right up. When the decree came out, if you pray to anyone but the king, you'll be cast into the den of lions. He just continued. It wasn't something he had, it wasn't that he had not opened his windows before and now he said, I'm going to just flaunt it. No, it's just what he had always done. And they knew where to go to look for the window being open for him to pray. It wasn't a hard thing. It didn't take a group of investigators to find where is he praying now. He just continued on. And his spirit was always free. You know, a few days ago, July the 4th, Independence Day, freedom. But you know what? While we're in America celebrating it by popping firecrackers and having a good time, feeling like we're free, you know what? America is becoming more and more bound by the sins that we would have been surprised just a few years ago to have found. And yet in the middle of it, Jesus has freedom for every one of us. He has a rest for us. We don't have to be disturbed by what's going on around us. When he came to the Jews And they had an expectation of what was going to happen when the Messiah would come. He's going to deliver us from Roman rule. And he hardly ever talked about any deliverance to them. What he did tell them was, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and you render to God the things that are God's. What he did was gave us the victory to be able to live through whatever happens out in the future. And I am thankful for that for us today. You remember there was a time when the disciples were looking at, there's coming a kingdom, and we're going to be a part of it. And after Jesus had gone back, I was looking at this in Acts. In the first chapter of Acts, they still have a question when they see him again. Acts 1 and 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Jerusalem? And he did not say yes or no. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But here's what he did say. I got something for you. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to be able to live pleasing to the Lord and make heaven my home at the end. Jesus said, I've got a peace that I'll give you. It's not like the world will give. It's the kind that will help us through whatever happens in our life, the difficulties that come to us. I'd like to close with a song. Many of you maybe will know it if you'll help me sing it. I'm so thankful today for freedom. Freedom that cannot be taken from me, no matter even if our country is taken over. I'm the only one that can lose this freedom by choices that I make in my life. For so long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. Free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. No longer a slave bound by Satan. No longer under sin's dread control. I was lost and unworthy, yet he gave his only son, paid the price, emancipated my soul. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past, for I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I am thankful for that freedom that God has for us. No matter how evil the world may get, I can be free, and I'm thankful for that. I don't want to allow anything to come into my life that binds me. It will be a choice that I have to make. I desire your prayers.